I know it's such a cliche that I use a passage from the Chosen, but well, you can see why. I wanted to begin this sermon by answering a question some people have asked me, which is, if the theme for this year is reach out, how come we are focusing on these issues of social justice? This is a fair question, and one that deserves us to take a moment to consider it. How does the way that we approach matters of justice in society relate to sharing the gospel? When I was growing up, I remember a phrase that I often heard people say. They talked about the, quote, social justice gospel, unquote. Now, if you've never heard this phrase, which you probably haven't if you're under the age of about 30, the idea was that some Christians got sidetracked by focusing on people's physical or social needs rather than their deep spiritual needs. And so preachers might accuse Christians of following a social justice gospel where they would feed the poor, but never tell them about Christ and how they could receive eternal life. They might accuse others of focusing on civil rights instead of sin and redemption. They would deplore mission organizations who'd become intent on meeting people's needs, but, quote, forgot why they were there. Now, it is important to understand this does come from a good place. Certainly, it's true that the reason the church exists is to share the good news of Jesus Christ with everyone on this world. And we must not forget that. But equally, we can't lose sight of the fact that whilst Jesus himself preached the good news tirelessly and enthusiastically, he was also focused on the needs of people. And not just as a means to an end. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He accepted the rejected, and we're going to hear more about that later on. He found the lost. More than that, it's easy for us to forget that our concern for the needs of others, our compassion, is a vital component of our witness. It's how we live what we believe. It's the most practical way of communicating love to others. It's easy to say, I love you. Easy. But we make that statement so much more clearly and undeniably if we show our love by our actions. With this in mind, I want to start today by recommending a book that helps us to understand this concept and orient ourselves. Rebecca McLaughlin's book, Confronting Christianity, is a fantastic read, and it helps to deal with some of the ways that Christians can improve their witness by coming to grips with big issues relating to many social issues. Big question, sorry. By the way, if you are old enough to have read a book in the 1980s and 90s by John Stott called Issues Facing Christians Today, this is, if you like, a 2000s version of the same sort of idea, and it's done really, really well. It deals with big issues such as violence, diversity, gender issues, sexuality, and suffering. It's highly accessible, and it can be read from anyone by anyone from a teenager who hasn't finished high school to a university professor. Now, I'm going to give you fair warning. It is sometimes a little uncomfortable to read, and that's because it takes on issues that Christians find difficult. But in the words of one of my favorite lecturers at Bible College, Dr. Lakshmanan, don't worry, you'll land safely. Whilst the issues are challenging, the book points us uncompromisingly to Christ and what he has done for us. So now on to today's talk, rejection and acceptance. Now this is an important issue and one in which we can start by looking at what Jesus himself did. But first, let's pray. Father God Almighty, I pray that as we go into this difficult topic, Lord God, that you would help each one of us here to be listening. And I pray that you'd start with the guy standing up the front and speaking, that you'd help me to listen as well, because this is something that has challenged me, and it's something that I don't do well. And I pray, Lord God, that each one of us here would learn more about acceptance from what we have read and what we will read today. In your Son's name, amen. So today's Bible passage comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 48. Now we've heard it read. We've seen it dramatized. But before we go further, context is necessary, as always. In the world in which Jesus lived, rejection was a major part of life. Rejection was a terrible and difficult part of life. And there were so many ways that you could end up on life's social scrap heap. Society might reject you for moral reasons. We read in John chapter 8 of a woman who was caught in adultery. Throughout the gospel, there are endless examples of prostitutes and tax collectors who are being looked down upon because of their immorality, real or perceived. We read several times in Scripture of the shock expressed by Pharisees when Jesus ate with sinners. If you weren't rejected for reasons of morality, you could be rejected for reasons of health. This might come about because of some kind of chronic disease. See how lepers were treated. But sometimes you could even face rejection because of normal bodily functions. 1 week out of every four, a reproductively healthy woman was basically cut off from social contact because she was menstruating and that was considered unclean. You could be rejected for reasons of background. Whilst a person who was from a non-Jewish background could and frequently would be baptized as a Jew, there were some backgrounds for whom that was not an option. If you'd been born a Midianite or an Ammonite, you could not become a Jew no matter what. And whilst in theory a Samaritan could become a Jew, in reality, Samaritans didn't really have any contact with Jewish people. You didn't have any choice about where you were born or who was your parents, but you could still be rejected because of the way you were born. It was even possible for you to be rejected because of reasons of misfortune. There were many ways a person's life could go sideways that would completely eliminate any possibility of normal contact with others. Divorce could completely change your life. Or some injuries might make you ceremonially impure permanently. All in all, there were very many things that could make you impure. And if you were impure, you could not contact other people normally. You were rejected. And here's where we see Jesus' actions putting him very strongly at odds with the people around him. Luke chapter 8, verse 40, we read that Jesus was on his way to heal a dying child. Now, I just want you to pause for a moment and just roll that idea around in your mind a bit. Many things have changed in 2,000 years since Jesus walked on this earth. But there is one thing that has not changed, and that is everybody would accept that priority should be given to a dying child. I don't think there's any surprise there at all. Jesus had every right to be in a hurry that day. And yet, when this woman touched Jesus, he didn't just heal her. He didn't even say, "You're healed, walk with me." Instead, despite the obvious hurry, despite the obvious priority to be given to this need, Jesus stopped. He stopped and he took time to talk to this woman. And although what he said is written down in very short terms in the Gospels, you can see that what is there is has a main focus of acceptance. What does Jesus call her? He doesn't just say woman. He doesn't just refer to her as a person. He calls her daughter. He gives her an intimate and accepting name. Now, this is particularly remarkable when you realize what the condition had done to this woman. For 12 years, she had been completely unclean as far as anyone around her was concerned. Her family couldn't contact her. Her friends couldn't contact her. If she had a husband, even he could not touch her. Chances are pretty good if she'd had a husband, he would have been gone by now. She had experienced a lifestyle of complete rejection for more than a decade. Can you imagine what that does to somebody? Think about what that might be like. All around her, she sees people who are accepted, but she is not. She has to stay well clear of everyone else. If she so much as touches anybody, they'll be angry because her presumption has made them unclean and they can't go to the temple or synagogue today. You can even see this in her reaction to Jesus when he asked her, "Who touched me?" She expected him to be angry because her touch had made him unclean. Instead, he calls her daughter. Instead, he accepts her completely and unquestioningly. This would be a remarkable situation on its own. But if we look at Jesus throughout the Gospels, it becomes clear that this is no isolated incident. Jesus constantly accepts those who society rejects. Immoral people, Jesus accepts prostitutes, tax collectors, and adulterers. Unhealthy people, Jesus hugs the lepers and calls the bleeding woman daughter. People rejected because of their ethnicity, Jesus spends time eating with Samaritans, healing a Canaanite woman's daughter. People rejected because life has gone in a different direction to what they expected. Jesus totally accepted the woman at the well who'd been divorced not once but seven times. We want a really good example of accepting other people regardless of their circumstances. Jesus is that example. It seems there is nobody worthy of his rejection. No matter how someone is rejected, no matter why they got there, whether it was their fault or someone else's, it doesn't matter. Jesus accepts them. There's only one requirement for acceptance. That is that they come to him. That is the only requirement. And if they come to him, he accepts them. Now, we don't live in first century Judea. We live in Sydney in 2023. So a lot of what we do is different to what people did in Jesus' day. But you know what? Rejection is still a problem. Still. In some ways, we reject people for different reasons. But we still reject people. And in fact, those four categories that I listed, they are still relevant today. Just like people in Jesus' day, we reject people for moral reasons. The reasons for this rejection change, but there are still some things that people might do which we will not accept. We may think that we don't reject people for health reasons, but people I know who suffer from chronic illnesses will tell you a very different story. Even today, we don't really know how to deal with someone who will simply not get better from their illness. Although we try not to reject people for reasons of their ethnicities, there are still some groups of people many of us find difficult to deal with. And I know for a fact that many people who have been through various life experiences, such as trauma or divorce or anything like that, find it very difficult to get acceptance from those around them. And whilst it's easy for Christians to say, yes, society rejects people, isn't that terrible? We can't be smug. In some ways, we are just as bad as society around us. We say that God will accept people no matter how what they have done. But ask same-sex attracted people how easy it is to find love and acceptance amongst Christians. We say that we're open to people who are suffering all kinds of problems. But many churches still don't have adequate disability provisions, and many more will treat a person who can't come to church regularly because of long-term ill health as though they're not trying hard enough. We say the church is for everyone, but what provisions do we have for those who don't speak our language or don't understand our culture? Whilst we'll send a casserole for someone who suffered a bereavement, we still really don't know how to deal with someone who suffered a relationship breakdown that wasn't their fault. With this in mind, I think it's important for us to read Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through to 7. This passage says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And how do we do that? "Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God." And this verse leads us to Greek of the week. The word used here for acceptance is proslambano. Now, this is the usual word used in the New Testament to mean to accept. But as always, there is more to this word than that. This word also means not just to accept, but to take as one's companion, to walk beside them, to receive them into one's home. It implies kindness. It implies friendship. It doesn't just mean that you're going to put up with someone. It means that you're going to make them part of your circle, to connect with them deeply. We see this in what Jesus did, especially in the act of sacrifice on the cross, but we also see it in many of those varied stories in which Jesus accepts people who would not be accepted by their society. Now, this radical acceptance was an absolute hallmark of the early church. Whilst the rest of the world, when a child was not wanted, the rest of the world was comfortable with exposing that child, putting that child outside and letting it be taken, Christians would take those children and raise them as their very own. Whilst even Jews would reject those who suffered from diseases like leprosy, early Christians set up what would eventually become known as the first hospitals. Even as late as the Middle Ages, the church was the accepted place where the poor could find provisions and where people would find sanctuary from their enemies. And note this, the church didn't ask why you were needing sanctuary, they just offered it. Your experience may be different to mine, but I don't believe that today's church is necessarily as well known for its acceptance as the early church was. This may be fair or it may be unfair, but we're now often known much more for what we are against than what we are for. And I believe that we need to recapture this sense of radical acceptance that you find so easily in Jesus throughout the Gospels. We need to remember that Jesus saw accepting people who were outcasts as being sufficiently important that he stopped what he was doing to accept someone, even when he was on his way to save the life of a desperately ill child. At a time when urgency was obvious to anyone who was watching, Jesus paused to call an outcast woman his daughter. When we hear Paul say, "Accept one another just as Christ accepted you," we may run the risk of looking at this from our own point of view. It's easy to put the emphasis on "as Christ accepted you" and understand Jesus accepting somebody like me. However, I think the focus should be on "as Christ accepted you." And if we put the focus there, then we begin to understand that just as Jesus can accept somebody with our own weaknesses, with our own problems, our own sins, Jesus can accept someone in very different situations. We see that Jesus accepted tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. And maybe this means that we need to be more willing to accept those whose sins we find unacceptable. We see that Jesus threw his arms around the leper. And this means maybe that we need to be more accepting of those with ongoing health needs or mental illness, even if they can't necessarily do all the things we think a Christian should do. We watch as Jesus heals the daughter of the Canaanite woman. And maybe this means that we need to be making more of an effort to look after those of our community who don't come from the same ethnic background as we do. We see Jesus accepting others in all manner of difficult scenarios. And maybe that means we need to be a little more gentle with those who are experiencing loss or traumatic life events. Now, normally, I like to finish up with a challenge. And sometimes I can give you a really clear challenge of what you need to do or what I need to do. Today it's going to be a little bit different to that because I'm not in a position to know which particular group of people you find difficult to accept. I know that I have them. I know I am not good at the kind of radical loving acceptance that Jesus expresses to all types of people in the Gospels. There are people for whom I find acceptance to be a real struggle. And I know that other people have these blind spots too. Now, it's okay to have these blind spots. We all have them. But it's not okay to leave them there. When we see the way that Jesus accepted others, we know that we have a long way to go and we need to do as he did. We need to pray that Christ will help us to see where we fail to accept others and ask his help in accepting others like he does. Why do we need to do this? Well, there are many reasons. We need to do this because Jesus thought it was important, and that should be enough for us too. We need to do this because Jesus believed that acceptance was an important need of people. But we also need to do this because by this, we express the love of God to other people. By this, we show people that God loves them and God cares for them. And we do so in a way that is completely real and undeniable. If you say God loves you, someone might be able to ignore that. But if you accept them when others don't, it makes this acceptance real. Meanwhile, there are two types of people in this room. There are some people for whom the real conviction here is accepting others and learning how we can better reflect Christ's heart in what we do. And this is probably the majority of us. But there are people here who have felt the sting of rejection too. They may have been rejected by people in this very church. They may have been rejected by me. If that is you, I want to say two things. Firstly, I want to say that I am very, very sorry if I've done this to you, and I will do everything in my power to make it right. Secondly, though, I want you to say that although God's people may have failed you in this way, even if I have failed you in this way, remember that God does not fail you. Look to what Jesus does with rejected people. No matter why people are rejected, Jesus accepts them. All of us can find acceptance in Christ. The only requirement is that we come to him. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we live in a world where rejection is so common. Some of us have been rejected, some of us have been the rejectors. We pray, Lord God, that firstly, those of us who've done the rejecting, that you could forgive us for the actions that we've taken. But for those who've been rejected, Lord God, I pray that you would help them to see your heart for accepting them. Help us to be part of the solution to this problem rather than part of the problem. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. We're now going to sing our last song, and then we'll go into a time of communion. For those of us watching the service online, I want to thank you for joining us today, and I want to remind you too of God's love and acceptance for all of us. Shortly, we'll be taking communion together, and I'd like you to consider taking communion with those around you today.